The OPM data breach that has affected millions of current and former federal employees doesn't seem like it was about acquiring bank records or credit card information. The signs point to cyber espionage. They also reveal a need for agencies to improve their overall cybersecurity and teach employees how to protect themselves. For some tips, we're joined now by Dan Waddell. He's Director of Government Affairs at ISC Squared. Hi, Dan.
Good morning, Emily. Thanks for having me.
Sure. So first of all, just explain what we know now. It seems pretty solid that people are coming down the consensus of this was cyber espionage, most likely from China.
Yeah, this is definitely going to be one of the biggest attacks that we've seen within the federal government. And to really understand the scope of this breach, you have to understand the role that OPM plays within the federal government. Basically, they are the HR department. So think of the HR department within your company or within your agency and what type of information that they could possibly hold. There's this form called an SF-86, which basically all the federal employees fill out. They're asking very sensitive questions about your background in terms of financial history, criminal history, drug use, that sort of thing. So, yes, to your point, we could be talking about information that could be held against you to coerce you, to blackmail you, to do something against your will. So it's not your typical, I've got to look at my financial statements, although that's certainly a risk. I think we're talking about something much bigger.
What exactly do you expect the hackers to do with this data, or will we never know?
Well, that's the thing. We could be seeing something coming from the attackers today. We could see an attack tomorrow. We could see it a year from now. It's really, up to the attacker to kind of decide what they're going to do with this data. So, from what we're hearing now, they could be building some profiles with all the federal employees to kind of find out who are the weak links, who do we need to go after to possibly, turn into a spy or something of that nature. So, it's going to take all the federal employees to be extremely vigilant and look for all different sources where the attacks could be coming from. It could be email. It could be cell phones, texts. There's a number of things and a number of ways that these attackers could continue to try to pry into the personal lives of the federal employees.
What should federal employees do now, and what can they do? Because this was an attack that now we're saying happened in late last year, so we're already halfway through 2015. And while people are frustrated, I think some are also saying, why bother changing anything now? They already have my information.
Well, I think we are kind of fatigued a little bit in terms of the breaches. It seems like every time we turn around, there's a new breach. But again, I think what makes this one so different is the fact that there's some really sensitive information out there. So I know OPM is in the process of notifying all of the federal employees exactly what was revealed, who was affected, et cetera. So I would be on the lookout for a phishing email that maybe was crafted and designed to look like it's coming from OPM. But there are some things that users can do to either, before they're clicking on the link, to actually, hover that mouse over the link, making sure that the link actually corresponds to the domain. Go to the OPM website if you have any questions. They've set up some toll-free numbers, things of that nature. So just be very vigilant and be wary of attackers trying to pretend they're from OPM or from the credit monitoring agency that they've set up to try to help federal employees through this process.
And to be clear, a phishing email is one that really looks like it's coming from a legitimate source.
Yeah,
but
correct.
It's not.
Yeah, that's right. So it may look in the first few seconds when you look at the email, wow, it looks like it's from OPM. But, if after closer inspection, you can actually see that, oh, wait a minute, this email, it isn't coming from OPM. It isn't coming from the credit monitoring agency. It's coming from some different address or some some different domain. So I would just caution users to be very vigilant and to, before you click on something, make absolutely sure that it's legitimate.
And just a quick question on that. If you were to read all of your email in plain text, does that make you safer online?
Well, it could, but that's really not a practical solution, because if you think of all the ways that we check email during the day, it's not just on our laptops or desktops. We use cell phones, we use tablets, etc. So you would have to configure each and every one of your devices to read your email in plain text. So that's really not a practical solution. Again, it's just making sure that go to the OPM website, do some research in terms of the credit monitoring service that they're setting up for you. It's not a perfect solution, but at least it's a start. Also, think about putting a credit freeze on your credit. That's another thing that you can do to help protect yourself above and beyond just signing up for the credit monitoring.
We're speaking with Dan Waddell. He's the Director of Government Affairs at ISC Squared. Now, we started this by promising to talk about agencies and their role in educating employees about this stuff. So let me ask that question to you. What role should agencies play in this?
Cybersecurity is a shared responsibility. So it's you're right. It's not just DHS. It's not just OPM. It's really everyone. And I think what agencies can do now is really set the tone at the top in terms of cybersecurity, making sure that cybersecurity as a culture is built in to your agency. You know, we did a survey, Emily, on our federal workers just a couple of months ago, and 60% of the federal responders said that they did not have enough cybersecurity staff to combat the latest threat. So until we get that workforce crisis solved, I would advise agencies to treat your users as part of your staff. They're on the front lines. They're the ones that are clicking on these links, and educate them, not just with a PowerPoint presentation or with one meeting a year, but actually set up some targeted education and an awareness classes, some training exercises to teach cybersecurity, to build in some best practices, what we call cyber hygiene, so that the users are more aware of some of the threats that are out there and actually decide, you know what, I probably shouldn't click on this, or if I do, you know, here's the number to call. You know, there are processes set up that if something does happen, they can respond to it very quickly.
And we'll learn more about what exactly happened at OPM next week. There's a congressional hearing about it. But from what you know now, do you attribute the fact that the hackers were able to access all this data to a lack of those cybersecurity skills and skilled workers at OPM?
I wouldn't necessarily, you know, point all of the blame on OPM. Again, it's a shared responsibility. I think, you know, certainly the federal government needs to do a better job of protecting our defenses. Right now, a lot of the tools that we're using are very reactive in nature. So, you know, how we found out about this attack was actually DHS going in and installing a tool, running it for about a month, and then finding out, oh, something has happened. And then now that they've actually have determined what's happened, they've kind of built what we call a signature, and they can now share that signature with all the other agencies within the federal government to now say, okay, guys, be on the lookout for this, and now you can run your own tools and things of that nature. So, you know, we're really reactive. Unfortunately, we've got to kind of flip the script and make this environment more proactive. And then really, it's people, processes, technology all across the board. Don't just install a tool and think you're going to be done, but really educate your users, build your staff, build the processes and the governance necessary to combat these threats.
And late last week, the White House said that it would speed up the distribution of the Einstein 3A software at the largest 52 agencies. They're going to have it by the end of this year. Is that going to address the problem of being so reactive, so slow to notice things they've already happened?
I think it's a start. I think, you know, one of the good things about the Einstein tool, again, is if you configure it in a way, it can detect known signatures and known attacks. Where we still have the gap is we're not doing a good job at detecting those attacks that do not have a signature, that what we call the zero-day attacks. There hasn't been a patch built for it. It's an unknown vulnerability. So I think we've got to do a little bit better job, bring everybody together at the table and say, are there other things that we can do to detect things that are happening that we don't know about? So if somebody's accessing the network at 12 o'clock at night, if there's a large download of data, terabytes of data off hours, things that that you can set off in terms of an alarm and actually get some response onto it, getting that response time down from the attack happening in December and it was discovered months later. We need to shrink that down to hours and days, not have that period of time between detection and response be months. I think that's one of the big problems right now.
Dan Waddell, he's the Director of Government Affairs at ISC Squared. Dan, thank you.
Thanks, Emily.